I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Proverbs 19. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 9. Proverbs 19, 9. This is what the Lord has to say. And you know, when we read the Scriptures and we realize this is God speaking, we take every word as absolute truth. He says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." I want to be this morning, I want to be honest, I want to be plain, I want to be forthright, I want to be sensitive to the truth of God's Word. I want to be sensitive to the hearers. But listen, this is a fact that all of us must face. This life, as we know it, is not going to be like this forever. There's coming a time when every person is going to stand before God. And we're going to have to answer this question. Here's the question. What think ye of Christ? What's your attitude? Now, just hold your finger right there. Turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Our Lord asked a question one day to his disciples. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, Elijah. The other, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, now listen to Simon's answer, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now you would think that was common knowledge. Everybody knows that. You ask anybody today, "Who is the Lord Jesus?" And Simon said, "Thou art the Christ." Remember, when we see Christ, that means God-man. You're the Messiah. You're God in the flesh, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So here's what I know. When the question, "Who do men say that I am? What think ye of Christ?" To believe that he is the Christ, and I'm going to deal with it in this message. To believe that he's the Christ, to believe it, to trust him, to rest on him, is by the revelation of God. You know, men don't naturally know that. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. So, Almighty God revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos, every man is going to stand before God. And that's going to be the issue. That's going to be the issue right there. What's your thought concerning Christ? John saw in Revelation chapter 20, under the revelation of God's Spirit. Here's John 20, verse 11. He said, "I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, listen now. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth. In that new heaven, that new earth, all that know not the Son lovingly, by faith, there's not going to be any place for them there. There's not going to be a place for them to hide, but it's not going to be any place for them to stay. Well, where are they going to be? They're going to be cast out into outer darkness. Now, this is real. This is soul. We're not just playing games here. I'm telling you, based on God's Word, and John said in verse 4, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, dead and hell. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's coming a time. This is just a blip right now. I was talking to Glenda the other day, and I said, "Do you think about, just thousands and thousands and thousands of years past Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs and the prophets, and America formed in the 1700s, and all these men have died, and the Declaration of tomorrow, 4th of July, and they're gone." You give it just a moment now. Just a moment. Life is a vapor. It's just a vapor. We're here just for a moment. You go to an appointment. What time's your appointment? 2:00. 2:00. Come up to it. It's coming up. 15:02. I got to be about 2:00. Here it is, right here. 30 minutes later, it's over. It's gone. How'd the appointment go? Oh, it went fine. It just lasted for a moment. And here we are, we're just in the midst of a moment, just a twinkling of an eye. In eternity, in light of eternity, Scripture reveals that Almighty God has revealed to man his problem. Now, let me tell you this. Men are born dead in trespasses and sins. Is that right? That's right. That's right. Men are spiritually dead. They cannot, unless God does something for them, gives them a new heart, they cannot do anything profitably toward reconciliation before God, before the maintenance of themselves. They can't. Why? They're dead. But let me tell you the problem. They're not without excuse. Every man, the Scripture says, has a conscience. Right and wrong is written in the heart. You say, I thought that heart's dead. It is. Can't do anything about it. But every man, woman has got the work of the law to know right and wrong. I'm telling you, a dead man, spiritually dead. That's what I'm talking about. Not physically, spiritually dead. But he knows right from wrong. He knows it. His conscience is a witness against him. How about nature? The Scripture says that nature itself bears witness of the power, the might, the knowledge of God Almighty. Nature itself. And that nature that we're looking at, it's easy order. You watch, I'm going to tell you something. On this date, today, July the 3rd, last year, the year before, the sunrise was at that same time. Sunset, same time. Tomorrow, the sun's going to set 1 minute sooner. and the sun's going to come up 1 minute later. God orders all things. Nature itself bears witness of the power of God Almighty. Men are, according to the Scriptures, without excuse. But there's some things, imperative things, vital things, that can only be known through the gospel revelation. There's some things that men will never know unless Almighty God teaches a man that. And He's going to have to give him a new heart. He's going to have to give him a new mind, a new love, a new will, because his will is dead. Almighty God is going to have to teach a man God's demand for righteousness. Man left to himself, he's got all kinds of ideas. He got them all just... Everybody knows that. That's why you have all these different, religions. And they have all kinds of different things. They have all kinds of different, you know, this one says you got to do this, and this one says you got to do that. And you know, every man does what's right in his own eyes. Therefore, God must teach a man concerning what God has to say about the satisfaction of justice. What God has to say about a man's inability. What God has to say concerning the glory of God's purpose. The truth of everything that must be known and believed in the heart is set forth in the gospel of God's grace. This is the message from the Lord concerning God's will, God's purpose. And there's only two sources of witness. Now, there's two sources. Number one is Almighty God. Now, here's the source. This is a source of witness. God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. What does the Scripture has to say? Here's what Scripture. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So the Scripture sets forth that God Almighty is the witness. He's the witness. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? What did John, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord was going to reveal some things to him. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. There's only two sources of witness. Number one is God. Number two is Satan. Satan. Look at John 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8. What did the Lord say concerning Satan's witness? Now here's what the Lord had to say about it. Now the Lord said, He said, I'm the true and faithful witness. I'm the witness. He's a witness from God to God's people. John 8:44. Ye are, and the Lord is speaking now to some Jews, that boasted of themselves being sons of Abraham, and finding great comfort because they were natural descendants from Abraham. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. Now, there's only two witnesses. There's the true and faithful witness, and there's the liar. And he's the father of all lies. Now, here again, I want to be plain, and I back up what I'm saying right here. Now, listen to me. You that know him know what I'm saying, so you know what I'm going to say. I'm telling you that anybody that stands in a pulpit somewhere and tells somebody that they have the ability or the will to do something, or if they tell them, you have got to do this, Chuck, you've got to be baptized, or you've got to speak in tongues, or you've got to do this or that or whatever it is. If you tell somebody that they've got to be do something in order to be saved, they are a liar. And where they got that lie is from Satan, because they are of their father, the devil. I'm telling you the truth. Now, somebody say, well, Marvin, now you're just a little bit too narrow-minded. No, I'm not. I'm telling you exactly what the Lord had to say. He said, now, are you saying that the gospel that we believe here is the only message of life? Yes, I am. Do you mean to tell me that you believe that no one that doesn't believe this message that's being preached out of this Bible, out of this pulpit and other pulpits too, do you mean to tell me that you believe that you're the only ones that's preaching the truth, that this is the only message that the Spirit of God will ever bless to the salvation of God's people? Yes, I am saying that. I'm telling you that somebody's lying. The only way to know the truth between God's witness and Satan's witness is, number one, the only way, it's one way, I'm going to just break it up in two statements. Number one, is it consistent with these scriptures? Is it consistent with the scriptures? Be as those at Berea. And when they heard something, and I encourage you, if I say something, and you say, oh, now wait a minute, look in the Word of God. And if I said something and it's completely opposed to the Scriptures, first thing I'll do is, as I wipe the egg off my face, I'll get up and tell you, I made a mistake. But if it's consistent with the Scriptures, then, as Brother Henry said one time, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel, woe is unto you if you don't believe it. But listen now, is it consistent with the Scriptures? And if it's consistent with the Scriptures, and here's the second half of one statement, the Lord Jesus Christ gets all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, and man gets none. The witness from God gives Christ all the honor. The Lord God from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration said, Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And here's what the Son had to say. In John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm telling you, let me tell you what happens when you read truth like this. Even a false prophet will say, oh, now, we believe that, totally. We believe that. All you have to do is accept him as your personal Savior, and then he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man comes but that leaven that they put in it, that sin, that ability, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he's saying, When you add man's work to it, it nullifies everything you're saying. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He is the way to God because He alone is our righteousness. He is our high priest. He is our atonement. He is our sin offering. And man has nothing that he added to that. God's sheep are totally the recipients of God's grace. They are the objects of His mercy. And they do nothing. They can do nothing. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. He's the sum and He's the substance of all truth. And He said, I'm the life. There's life in no other. I give unto them eternal life. And they'll never perish. At what point do we ever find the Lord or the prophets, the true prophets of God, ever setting forth that man was a contributor to his salvation? Here's the way to tell who gets the glory. If Christ gets all the glory, if He gets all the honor, all the praise, look at John 5. John chapter 5. If He gets all the honor, that message is from God. John 5, 22. John 5, 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. He that does not give Christ all the honor for the procuring of, for the establishing of, for the finishing of salvation. He that honoreth not the Son doesn't honor the Father. Look at Revelation 5. Revelation 5:11. Revelation chapter 5. This is that passage where they were singing a new song. Look at Revelation 5:11. John said, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven... Now, I read this again this morning. I thought, what an amazing passage. Everything in creation, every bit of creation, and every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Now listen, the message or the witness from the Lord gives Christ all the honor. How do you know when I'm hearing a lie? Well, that should be so obvious, but I'm going to just say something about it for just a moment. The witness from Satan bears these marks. Now you listen to this. The message from Satan bears these marks. Number one, that man has a free will. Number one. Isaiah, just turn there, you've read it before. Isaiah 14:12. Remember when the Lord said a while ago, you are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. Every lie that is told on God. Well, every lie. You know, this whole world is filled with lies. There's liars. A bunch of liars. Just you know, I don't care what you're watching. I don't care what you're watching on TV. I listen to this, you know, well, I didn't know anything about it. You know, I just, you know, you liar. You know something about who God is and who man is. And you know what? You know, this whole world, apart from the grace of God, is built on lies. It's just, they're just lies. Lies. Listen, listen. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, look, the Lord said, you didn't even have to say it. I heard it. You said this in your heart. You said, I will ascend into heaven. Now let me ask you this. What does free will say? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is what Satan has to say. I will. I have the right. I have the ability. Man does not have a free will. Where did man's thought that he has a free will, where did that come from? Right here. A man tell you he's got a free will, and I'm going to tell you something right now. That's from hell. He's a liar. Here's the second thing. He believes, and it's really part of the same thing, but he believes that he can contribute to his salvation. Romans 4:4, now to him that worketh, him that exercises his will, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. A man that thinks that he contributes to, having a free will is a thought, that he actually does something. He's thinking that he has contributed. And the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And here's the third thing about a false witness, that you cannot trust God. You can't trust God. Genesis 3, this started in the garden. Genesis chapter 3. Remember when Satan came to Eve? Genesis 3, 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Has God said that you can't eat? Yeah, God said that. He said we'll die. And Satan says, you're not going to die. Do you know what the heart, and really I'm still on this, at really one point. I said three evidences of a false witness, but it's still bound up in this, a free will. Do you know what the very heart of believing that a man has a free will is, Carl? He doesn't believe he's dead. I'm not really dead. I'm really not spiritual. A man is not spiritually dead. That's what free will believes. Because if you believe that you have the ability to exercise something in order to be saved, then life is there. Life has got to be there. If you think that you can exercise something, if you think that you can do something, then you don't really believe that a man is born spiritually dead. You're calling God a liar. The Lord said to Adam, in the day you eat up, you're going to die. You're going to die. And Satan said, you're not going to die. God's a liar. That's what he said. You cannot believe God. man or woman that believes that a man has a free will is saying this: I don't believe God. I don't believe Him. Now, here's what Almighty God has to say concerning His witness. It's number one. God's will alone is going to stand. God's will. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 11. God's will is going to stand. Man has no free will. Man's will is dead. There's one that has a will. A will of life. It's the Lord. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. Listen, think of this. He said, I'm God. There is none else. But if you believe a false witness, you have to believe that you have the ability to exercise or to do something to control God. And what you're saying is you're putting your, or trying to put yourself in a position that only God owns. He said, I'm God. You're not. He's the pot. We're the clay. He has the right. We have no rights. What do you mean we have no rights? We lost every right in the garden. What do we have? Nothing. Nothing. All of us are as an unclean thing, from the crown of our head, sole of our foot. What have you got? Putrefying sores. That's it. That's it. He said, I passed by, I saw you. You know, you were, your navel wasn't even cut. Still joined to your to Adam's rebellion. Nobody pitied you. What's going to happen if God passes you by? He said, I am God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times to things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Well, where does that leave man? He's dead. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it. I'll also bring it to pass. I purposed it. I will also do it. Who has the will? God. Next, Christ alone wrought out salvation. The Father purposed to save a people. Christ made sin at Calvary, bore the debt of His elect, and finished the work. Now let me ask you this. If He finished the work, where does that leave you and me? If He's finished it, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what's going to happen. In time, if God Almighty has purposed to save a people and Christ died for and paid their debt and redeemed them, paid the debt, bought them, paid for them with His blood, I'm going to tell you something. That finished work is going to be known in time. The Spirit of God is going to call them out of darkness and God's going to tell them about it. Almighty God alone has the will. He's God. And God's people, they absolutely see Him alone as their salvation. Philippians 3, 1 to 3. I'm going to wrap this up. Philippians 3, 1 to 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I mean, you know, if we read these scriptures aright, as they're blessed by the Spirit of God, let me ask you on that first part, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. What does that give us to rejoice in? In ourselves? Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it's safe. I've thought there's been so many times that I'd start preparing a message, and I'm in Proverbs, or I'm Philippians, and I'm over here in Deuteronomy, and I think to myself, I look at my notes, and I'm thinking, well, I'm saying the same thing, Neil, that I said last week. I think to myself, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Be careful what you hear. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Paul said in Galatians 1, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you except that which was preached. What is the conclusion of that? Let him be accursed. You say, well, you know, what I can do is I can go somewhere and I don't agree with everything they say, but I can take out the bad and leave the good. For the sake of your soul, go somewhere where the truth is preached. Well, yeah, but I'd have to drive 2-3 hours to get. Well, then drive 2 or 3 hours. But don't sit and listen somebody muddy the waters and try to mix works and grace. It's not blessed of the Lord. Now don't tell me that. Be careful what you hear. Mark 4, the Lord again speaking through Mark. Mark chapter 4. Verse 21 to 25. He said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid that shall not be made, that shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come broad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. You see, that's scriptural. Somebody say, you know, be careful what you hear. The Lord said that. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Be careful. The gospel is light, not to be hidden. The Lord's going to manifest his truth to his people. Search the scriptures. Are these things so? Now, I'm preaching out of Proverbs 19:9. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just read it. That's all I'm going to do. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. God's people are going to hear God's message concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And they'll hear nothing else. They hear that part that is not concerning his honor, but gives honor to man. And I'm telling you, that's all they hear. hear what Almighty God has to say. And I can tell you this, every message that is blessed by the Spirit of God is going to have the savor of man's ruin in the fall. In redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ, He finished the work. And regeneration by God's Spirit, all, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Well, what about a false witness? They're not going to go unpunished. And he that speaks lies is going to perish. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.